about, and we've been studying, amen, about gratefulness, right? So somebody tell me from last week, what did you learn last week? What did you get out of the lesson last week as it pertains to, amen, being grateful? What did we say? We say that if you want to be grateful, if you're going to commit to being a grateful person, you must first commit to what? Commit to spiritual growth, right? And then what's the next thing? Remember, right? And that's what we've been talking about, remembering, right? And we talked about the fact that if we're going to be the kind of people, amen, that shows gratitude, we show gratitude, right? We are going to always, we're going to be growing consistently, but it's going to be a consistent thing, right? And then you're not going to allow success, amen, to change you. Success is not going to change you or bring you to a place where you are ungrateful, where you move to ungratefulness, right? And so tonight, I want someone to read for me, amen, if you look at your handout. It says gratitude on part two. Gratitude is fueled by what? Fueled from what? All right, and I told you that one of the other aspects of gratitude is that you are maturing, right? When a person can be grateful, that means that they're growing, they're moving past being a babe in Christ to being a mature person. A mature person understands gratitude, but look what it says. It says, "It is gratitude is fuel from a heartfelt thanks to who? To God. For what? For what we what? And do you know that oftentimes, amen, we forget, and that's where, go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 tonight, that's where we're going to pick up, we're going to chapter 9, but I want to just kind of recap here for a minute, amen. The children of Israel, God is telling them something in chapter 9, in chapter 8, he's telling them in chapter 8, he said, listen, don't forget what I've done for you. And this is the primary thing that you and I must be very careful of, is that we don't forget easily what the Lord has done for us. You follow what I'm saying? And so a heart of gratitude says, listen, I understand that what I have and where I'm going, the person responsible for it is God. Amen. So we stopped off right at the end of chapter 8, verse 17, verse 16, and I just want to just kind of recap from verse 16. And so when we talk about gratitude, and if you look at the bottom of your page also, it has two questions, has some questions there, right? Do you come to Christ only when you feel that things are going great, or only when you're facing a crisis? Now, I want to say this to you. There are people who the only time they come to Jesus or run to Jesus is when life is falling apart. Amen. And that's the truth. And that's the kind of people we don't want to be. And this is the kind of people that God was explaining to us in chapter 8. Chapter 8, he was saying, listen, look at verse 16. He says, in the wilderness, he had to remind them what he had done for them. Look what he says. In the wilderness, he fed you manna. Do you remember God feeding you? God taking care of you? When you had nothing, God was there for you. And isn't it amazing how, amen, there are times when only when things are good, amen, when things are good, we sometimes start slacking. We sometimes, our devotional life is not as strong. Our prayer life, you know, we neglect it. We, you know, but from the moment we're under pressure, from the moment where the vice grips of life is squeezing us in, amen, what do? We run to God. We're committed. Right. And what we don't want to be is the kind of people who we're in it only for what we can get out of it. Amen. There are a lot of people. That's their motives. Their motives for serving God, and not all people, but their motives for serving God is because God is doing something for them. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Can you still worship? Can you still glorify him? Can you still serve him? Amen. Even when, amen, things are going rough in your life, even in the midst of crisis. In the midst of crisis, you get to see if you're truly grateful. You know, I asked God in a situation not too long ago. I asked God, I said, God, you know, keep me humble in the situation. Success was coming my way. It was a great deal coming to me. You know, financially, I was going to benefit real good from it. And I was like, man, but Lord, please help me to stay humble. And let me tell you, you got to be careful what you pray for, right? Because as the deal was getting ready to go through, it didn't come with ease. Come on, somebody. It didn't come with ease. It came where it got to the point where it looked like it wasn't going to happen. And when it did happen, God said, the reason why I delayed it is because you asked me to keep you humble. Come on, somebody. And see, oftentimes that's what we have to do. God, keep me humble in my situation so that, watch this, so that I do not forget. And we've been talking about the fact that one of the things that happens in gratitude is people forget what God has done for them. Right. So look what he says. He says, in the wilderness, he fed you. And this is the right. This is God reminding them. Moses reminding them of what God had done for them. See, here's what I told you last week. It's easy to forget after you've gotten what you wanted and you're satisfied. Come on, somebody, and say amen tonight. Amen. And you're satisfied. Right. And then all of a sudden you forget the feeling of want. And then all of a sudden you go back to being what you were. May I say this to you? Gratitude changes you into a better person. It really does. And when you're grateful, not just for the big things, but for the little things that people and God is doing for you, man, you're setting yourself up for a great life. See, sometimes we think it's our circumstance, but really it's our gratitude, the level of gratitude. Listen, it doesn't cost you anything to be grateful. It doesn't cost you anything to say thank you. It doesn't cost you anything to be committed. Did you know that? There is a cost in carrying your cross. Amen. But it comes with sacrifice. But at the end of the day, you're going to benefit from it. Amen. So look what he says. He says, I fed you manna, which your father did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good, right? To do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, what? My power and strength and my hand made me what? And we went over all that last week, right? So let's fast forward now. I don't want to stay there. If I stay there, I'll go back into it. Let's go to chapter 9 now and verse 1. Let's read that. Somebody read that for me. Dispossess. Stop right there. So now God is saying, okay, you understood what I just told you. Remember the things that I've done for you. I fed you manna. Matter of fact, in that chapter 8, he talked about how their clothes didn't wear out in 40 years. Can you imagine that? Wearing the same clothes for 40 years. Amen. Some of them wearing the same thing for a long time, and you still look good in it. Amen. That's nobody but God keeping you, right? But watch this, though. He says in chapter 9 now, he's saying to chapter 9, listen to me real good. You got to listen to me. And I want you to pay attention. I want you to take some notes tonight. This is important. Okay, watch this now. Now he starts talking about, watch this, their future. See, here's the thing. If you cannot be grateful in remembering your past, come on, somebody, then you will definitely not be grateful for your future. So that's the next thing. In order to be grateful, amen, you have to remember, amen, that you have to be grateful for the future that God has for you. And some of us have no clue about our future. Some of us don't even know what's to come next. But if God was to reveal it to you, the question is, maybe the reason why we haven't seen our future just yet is because maybe God knows that if I reveal to you the future, come on, somebody, amen, then you will show how grateful you are. Amen. Now watch this. He says, now you're getting ready to cross over the Jordan. What did he say? When did he say they're going to cross over the Jordan? See, some of us are not ready to cross over just yet. Come on, somebody. Some of us, amen, let me say this to you. Your future awaits you. Not, listen, stop putting off what God wants to do now. Come on, somebody. He says today, whether you like it or not, today we're crossing over. Amen. And some of us are delaying our destiny because of the lack of gratitude, because we're not even grateful for the things that God. Have you looked at your life lately? Have you seen what God has done for you? Listen, if you cannot appreciate what he's done in the past, how can you appreciate him for your future? You see, the God we serve is powerful. And he has our future in his hands. And here tonight, I want to tell you something. Your future awaits you, but God says what you have to do is you have to always remain with a spirit of gratitude. Amen. Be grateful for the things that he's doing. Watch this. Watch what he says. He says, we're crossing over the Jordan today, to go in to dispossess nations, watch this, greater and mightier than you. Great cities fortified to heaven. Now, I want to linger there for a minute. See, what God was saying to them. See, this is why you have to remember that your future, you're not responsible for it. God is. You see, oftentimes we're trying to get out, when we get out of the will of God, amen, we only see, now watch this, God is saying to them, I'm getting ready to take you into a land, a fortified city, a city where the people are great and mightier than you. Let me give you something. Here's what God was trying to tell them. Don't put your focus on your ability, because your ability cannot take you into this land, but I can. Oh, I wish I had you. God is awesome. Here's what I know about God. He always takes us to places that we're not qualified to go. He always opens the hardest doors, amen, in our lives. He takes us to around people that we think that we're not qualified to be around, amen. He moves us to places, amen, that you would have never thought that you would ever be in life. Listen, I never thought I would be doing this in my life. I never thought I would have been this far in life. But God was the one that opened the doors. And may I say this to you today? Here's what I want to say to you today. Listen, it looks mighty right now. It looks fortified right now. It looks like you will never go through those doors. It looks like it's tough. It looks like it's rough. But do you know why God is allowing you to face some difficulties so it seems right now? Because he wants to show you who's in control. And not only that, But he also wants to show us, watch this, that when we get into the place where he wants us, the place of blessings, the place of prosperity, that's where they're headed, right? He says, when you get there, you're going to be grateful to say, man, it was nobody but God that opened these doors. Are you with me? There's some of you trying to start, go back to school. Some of you trying to find a purpose in life. Listen, it looks tough right now. You say, I can't, listen, here's the excuses you have, a bunch of excuses. But the question I have for you is, have you turned to God for it? Maybe the reason why the doors are not opening for you is because maybe you're trying to open those doors and God says, I've been waiting for you to allow me to open those doors. Are you with me tonight? Watch the text. The text says, listen, look at verse 2. Now watch, this is the impossibility of this situation. You know why God allows us to get into impossible situations? Because he wants to show you how powerful he is. And how he can deliver you and how he can change your life. All you are required to do is what? To be grateful. You can pray and all that. I know some praying ungrateful people. Come on, somebody. I know some Bible reading ungrateful people. See, this is something that I've been teaching for 12 weeks now. 12 weeks, and God has placed you and I in circumstances where we had to prove whether or not we were grateful. And the first point of gratefulness is God says, can you show up in my house? That's all I require of you. It's to come into my presence to worship me. Come on, somebody. That's all I ask. I'm not asking much. Amen. You have the rest of the week to yourself. Amen. I'm not asking for much, but I'm asking you to serve me. Is that too much to ask for all the things I've done for you? Come on, let's look at it. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. What do you say next? A people what? Go ahead. Yes. Right there. Stop right there. Man, there's some people standing in the way of your destiny right now. There's some people standing in the way of your future. And God says, matter of fact, why are you avoiding them? I'm taking you straight to them. He said, look what he says. He says, a people great and tall, the sons of Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard, it is said, who can stand before the sons of Anakim? He says, these are some mighty people. My question, remember I told you this? Like all through the wilderness experience, right? God always puts them in predicaments like this. Why would God keep moving them, right? If God's so loving, right, why does he keep putting them in difficult situations? Difficult situations. You want to know why? Or allowing them to be in difficult situations. You want to know why? Because they were not grateful. They were not grateful people. They were the kind of people that kept forgetting. The moment they had the feeling of satisfaction, you know what I mean? You ever wanted something so bad? You had that burning desire for it. Amen. Then when you got it right, you're like, oh, okay. Is that it? you ever felt that way? You know, and that's the kind of thing that God is trying to get us to see. It's like, man, listen, don't be such in a hurry to get what you think you want. But understand this, that the difficult things that come up in your life, if you trust me to take you through it because I'm bringing you to it. I'm talking to myself tonight. If I bring you to it, then I can bring you through it. That's the kind of God I am. As a matter of fact, I'm not making it a secret. I wrote it in my word that I'm going to bring you before these people who say they were greater than anybody else in this world. May I ask you something? What's your ANAC? Amen. What's your giant? Who's standing in your way of your future? What's standing in the way of your future? And listen, may I say this to you? There's a God that's bringing you to it. He can bring you through it. Trust and believe him. Watch verse 3 now. Know therefore today. I love that word today. See, we serve a God of today. You know, sometimes like, well, we got to wait. Listen, God wants you to get your freedom today. But it's up to you. And if you're not the type of person that shows gratitude, God says, how can I give you more? Amen. Listen, if I bless you, will you honor me? Will you remember me? Will you still serve me? You follow what I'm saying? That's pretty deep, ain't it? Watch this now. Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God. Watch this now. Who is what? Stop right there. It is the Lord your God who is crossing over what? So the God that brings you through it, to it, can bring you through it. But watch this. He goes before you. He's ahead of you. But the problem with us sometimes is we're trying to outrun God. We're trying to get to the blessing before God even gets there. And so what we're learning here about gratitude is to let God go before us and do what he has to do. You see, God needs to go before you. See, if you're trying to do something great with your life, put God before it. God, you go in before me. God, I'm going to wait. I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to stand right here and I'm going to keep praising and magnifying you until you go before me, God, and take care of my enemies. Take care of whatever difficulties. We got to stop worrying and complaining and being upset all the time about things that are not going our way. Listen, put God before it. Listen, God doesn't need permission. All right? I'm just letting you know that. He doesn't need permission to go before you. He's going to go anyways. Matter of fact, if it was up to them, they would have stayed there. Come on, somebody. You know why? Because at some point, the children of Israel, the Bible says, they would always become settled and comfortable where they are. You know what that is? That's complacency. And you know what God wants for you and I? He doesn't want us to become complacent. He wants us to be content, but he also wants us to make to always be moving forward. Amen. Watch the text. The text says, know this, that the God, know therefore, verse 3, that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. Watch what it says. He will destroy them. And he will what? Subdue them what? So that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. Come on, y'all. What did God say he's going to do? He's going to destroy them. So in other words, this is all part of God's plan for them. God is saying to them, you don't have to worry about your enemies. Matter of fact, why do you get so upset? Mm-hmm. About people that are really insignificant. Come on, somebody. Now, I think everybody's cool and you know what I mean? I'm not, but at the end of the day, I want to say something to you. We all got some enemies. We all have some people in our lives. Amen. That they are declared enemies. But what we have to learn to do is put them in the Lord's hands. Allow God to deal with them. And when God deals with, wherever God, listen, there may be a person standing in, watch this, between you and your destiny. Between what God has for you and where you need to go. But what God is saying to you is, listen, I will take care of them. And all you got to do is step forward. Move forward and say, Lord, thank you. Lord, I'm grateful for the things you've done. Listen, don't rejoice over your enemies. I don't think that's what God was trying to get them to do here. But I think that what God was, I believe, what God was trying to get them to see is that I have your future in my hands. Now, here's the thing. See, here's what happens, though. We forget. Once we go through this little scenario right here, once we face our obstacles and face our difficulties and God removes our enemies and this stuff like that, what happens? We go right back to being what? Being what we were before. Ain't that something? Can I ask you a question? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? We forget. All right? What is it? We're ungrateful. All right? What else? Huh? We take God for granted. Okay? What else? If God is so good, and if God is so great, and if you've seen God do mighty, how many of you here have seen God do mighty things in your life? That's everybody in here. Right? How many of you, God has removed these kinds of people out of your path? Right? Take out some difficult people out of your life and you were headed in the wrong direction, right? Okay, so can I ask you a question? What else does he have to prove? for you to say, you know what? I'm sold out. I'm sold out, you know. Pastor, there's a lot to do with the Vision Church. Hello, somebody. There's a whole lot to do, you know. There's a whole lot to do for the glory of God. But the question is, you know, how grateful are you? See, that's the key thing. Listen, let me say this. A person's motives reveals their gratitude. Amen. Because, see, sometimes we can be grateful only when we have nothing. But the moment we get one break, the moment God opens one door, the moment God removes an obstacle out of your way, we fall right back. And I want to tell you something, sometimes it's hard. I just want to let you know, success sometimes is hard to handle. I got to be honest with you, sometimes success can be very, 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 very hard to handle. Because sometimes success causes you to neglect the one who blessed you. It really does, y'all. And you may say, well, no, not me. You know, I'm cool. I'm strong. Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? You know, but I want to tell you something. We all get to that place. Well, we start forgetting. But watch verse 4 now. Now, watch verse 4. This is the part. This now we get into the good part right here. Watch this. Any questions so far? All right. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, man, I love this study. This study has been a blessing. Do not say in what? When the Lord your God has driven them out before you. Now, this is the part I want to get to right here tonight. Do not say in your heart, amen. What did he say? Because of what? Because of what? Because of my right. See, here's the part that I want to deal with tonight about gratitude. You see, after God has blessed us, and then we start, you know, learning more about God, and we start getting a little, you know, a little Bible knowledge. Amen. And we start getting a little sanctified and we praying and stuff like that. We start believing that it's because we're so good that God is blessing me. Because I'm showing up for Bible study every week. You may be showing up for Bible study every week, but where were you the rest of the weeks? Hello, somebody. After he had delivered you. Come on, somebody. See, just because you do it one day or 2 days doesn't mean that it's your righteousness that's bringing you blessing. See, this is where a lot of people think they think they can like kind of like trick God. Well, if I act right this week, you follow what I'm saying? If I do the right thing just this week or every 2 weeks, amen, I'll miss a week. You follow what I'm saying? Well, it's because of that that blessings are coming my way. Oh, Pastor, doors are opening. Ooh, you see the doors of the Lord is open. You don't know the devil's opening them doors. Because if you ever notice the doors that God, watch this, the doors that God opens are the most difficult doors. Come on, somebody. The doors that he just opened to them was the doors where they had to face some of the meanest, some of the wickedest people, but God took them to that door and opened that door. See, Satan will trick us to think that the easy doors are God's. But I want to tell you something. The God that goes before you is the one who opens those doors. The God that delivers, the God that heals, the God that brings you through such situations in life. Amen. It's the God that will bring you through things to teach you that it's all about me and it's not about you. Are you with me? See, because what can happen, y'all, is that, look at verse 4, look at verse 4. He says, do not say where. See, you may not say with your mouth. Listen, can I tell you something? Sometimes you know how you be sitting there and you be thinking stuff. You know what that is? Some stuff just start coming through your mind. That's your heart. See, you may not say with your mouth. You may say with your mouth, oh, I'm so grateful, God. You may be praying, Lord, thank you so much for all you've done. But secretly in your heart, you're like, oh, man, I did this. See, if you're going to be a person of gratitude, here's the point tonight. You cannot take credit for what God has done. You have to give God the glory. I preached that on Sunday. The only way that God will shine in your life or you will shine for God is if you give God all the credit for the very breath that you breathe. That's pretty deep, ain't it? And oftentimes what happens is after God, listen, you can get to the point, we can get to the point where we're growing spiritually and we think that, oh, just because I'm righteous, that's why God is opening these doors. Or we take credit for it. Look at verse 4. He says, unless you say, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is disposing them before you. See, God is saying, listen, it wasn't about you. Listen, whatever God delivers you from, you got to remember, if he delivers you from evil, it wasn't because of you, it was because of the evil that he delivered you from. Come on, somebody. See, because why do you say that, Pastor? Because what God wants from us is he wants the credit. He wants it. He wants it. He will take nothing less than the credit. He wants the credit. And what we have to do, saints, is we have to be the kind of people that say, God, you know what? I know I couldn't have done that without you. God, I get up every morning, I get in my car. And between your job and your car, do you know you're just an accident waiting to happen? But yet God gives you traveling grace. And some of us, we have jobs where it's dangerous. Come on, somebody. You can lose your life in a split of a second, but yet God keeps you and I. Come on, people are walking in churches and shooting the pastor for no reason because the devil told them to do it. Dangerous job. The pastoring now has become a dangerous job. Ain't that something? And so what I'm saying to you is that God says it's not because of your right, not because you're so good. Listen, if you're saying, well, I'm going to be good to get blessings, that ain't going to work. See, it's a lifestyle. You have to change your life. Your yes have to be yes. Your no have to be no. You cannot be a maybe person. You can't be a maybe person. You have to be yes or no. It's either yes or no. Period. You know what that falls in the category of? Integrity. And that's one thing God says. Listen, verse 5. It is not for your righteousness or for your what? Of your what? That you are going to do what? Now notice, God says, hold on a minute. You see, I believe when he says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, I believe that. You follow what I'm saying? But I believe that the reason why we're broke or broken is because we don't understand who it belongs to. We want credit. He says, listen, it's not because of you. It's not because you act right. Listen, it's not because you were upright in your heart that I'm giving you something that somebody else had. Do you know God can do that? He can take it from the wicked and put it in your hands. But the question is, can you be trusted with it? Listen. If God just blesses you, I mean, I'm just waiting to see this happen, man. I'm waiting to see this happen. Where God just blesses a person and they remain humble. And they don't take credit for it. They don't take the credit from God. But they're a person of gratitude. Listen, be grateful for your parents. Listen, I want to tell you that. Listen, they're not going to be around very long. No matter how difficult the relationship may be, no matter how hard it may be, listen, they brought you in this world. How can you not get along with the person that brought you into this world? Now, I'm saying this because I was lost and I couldn't get along with my parents. But you're different. Come on, somebody. I don't know why I went there. That's gratitude. I just believe it's gratitude, and that's what it really means. Right? But it's something that you have to get into your heart to say, you know what? I need to stop acting this way. I got to be grateful for what I have. I have a roof over my head. Some people take that for granted. Right? Watch what he says. Watch what he says. He says, not because of you, but it's because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the what? The oath which the Lord swore to who? Your fathers what? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me talk about this for a minute. You know the reason why God may be blessing you right now? Because of the promises that he made. Listen, before you got saved, the reason why you may not be destroyed just yet. Amen. Or down a street in life. A dead end. That street I'm talking about. It's because of the promises that God has made about you. And you know what God is waiting for? To bring those promises alive in your life? Gratitude. You know what? Try it this week. Just try it. Every day. Find something every day that God is doing in your life and stop for a moment and say, start with what we said last week. How many of you been doing it? From the moment you roll off your bed. Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. How many still doing it? I know y'all started. Hey, amen. I miss a couple of days. I ain't gonna lie. I miss a couple of days. But I still pray, you know, and I use my cats when I pray. Amen. I confess my sins. I thank him for what he's doing in my life. Amen. Right? I make supplication. You know what I mean? I give him adoration. I give him thanksgiving, and I supplicate. You see, because what God wants to show you is that, listen, it's because of the promises. And let me say something about God and his promises. God is faithful to his promises. Every promise that God makes, he's faithful to it. Notice what he says. He says, I'm not doing this because of you. Do you not know that maybe the reason why you're blessed is because of your parents? And because of the promises, look what he says. He says, and listen, and may I say this to you? You are Abraham's seed now. Did you know that? God has 7,000 what? I got to get that number. I got two conflicting numbers here. 7,000, I always say 7,842 promises. There you go. 7,637 promises that belongs to you as a child of God. Listen to this. Why aren't you grateful? Listen, I know it's tough. I know you may have to eat ramen noodles and struggle and you can't find a job and you can't do this and things are hard and tough and difficult and you got to be in difficult situations. But you can find, listen, you are worth something. Just, you know, people take their lives because of this very reason, because they feel as if they're not worth anything. But you're worth something. Look what he says. Look what he says. God, and listen, you know what? The one thing I can say to you tonight, if God promises it, you can take it to the bank with you. Here's a promise. You ready? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. Here's another promise. I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. Here's a promise. You want another promise? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? So what you worried about? If the Lord is your shepherd, maybe you're not the sheep. Maybe you're acting like a goat. Hello, somebody. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. You're not a sheep. You're a goat. And you know what you got to do with a goat? What you got to do? Sometimes with a goat, you got to pull that goat ain't going nowhere. Because a goat is stubborn. If the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, then why am I living in want? If he says he leads me besides still waters. See, that's what the problem probably is. Because here's the thing about a sheep, and you got to remember that you are a sheep and you have sheepish tendencies. Here's what a sheep will do. When you take a sheep and put a sheep by troubled waters, that sheep will be thirsty to the point of death, but will never drink from troubled waters. Come on, somebody. It will stand right there by the water. And if the water is troubled, it'll sit right there and look at it. Like, man, drink. And see, that's probably why you're starving or you're thirsty spiritually, because maybe where you're living is you're living by troubled waters. And that's a difficult place to be as a sheep. We should study the tendencies of a sheep one day. They're very delicate out there. They're the dumbest animals in the whole animal kingdom, unfortunately. I'm not calling you dumb. I'm just saying. A sheep will walk off a cliff. Like, whoop, yeah, I'm just walking willy-nilly. Just walking around. And that's why the shepherd will come and rescue the sheep. You see, sheep need to be cared for. But sometimes we don't want the care of the Father because we want to run our own lives. Are you with me? Listen, may I say this to you? You got to be mindful. Now, here's what I want you to know from verses 1 to verse 5, right? Here's the thing. here's what God is telling them. Hey, y'all, it's not because you're so good. It's not because you show up at church every week. It's not because you stop fornicating. It's not because you stop getting high. It's not because you stop living wrong. It's because I made a promise to your fathers, man. I made a promise to what? To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not about you. You're just benefiting from the promise. See, and that's where ungratefulness comes in, because when a child didn't work for something, oh, man. And you give them an inheritance, and they have, and listen, and they're still foolish. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen?
All right, hold on a minute. Let me hold your finger there. Let me show you something. Hold your finger right there. Let me show you something. See here. Put your finger right there. Go to,
let me see something here. Let me show you something. Go to Luke chapter 15. I want to show you something about how ungrateful a child can be about their inheritance. Verse 11. I want somebody to read that for me. Y'all quiet tonight. Soaking it in. What kind of sons he had? Two. Go ahead. Now, first of all, let me just share this with you, all right? The fathers of the biblical time, they were obligated, in a sense, to leave an estate, a trust fund, amen, an inheritance for their children, for the boys, amen? But this young man, first of all, I don't know what happened to him. I know what happened to him. He got ungrateful. And he demanded something that wasn't even his. It was his by birthright, but it was something that he never worked for. And he had the courage, amen, the ungrateful courage to go to his dad and say, "Dad, listen, give me what's mine." His older brother didn't ask for that. Two brothers. The younger, the more immature one, hello, somebody, is usually the one that want to go have a party. Read on. Now, stop right there. Now, check this out. He's like, let me just say it. If you're in a hurry to leave your parents' house, go ahead. Go. Go on. Go find out what life is like out there. Go ahead. It's rough, ain't it? The text says, see, here's one thing I want to share with you tonight. Money will never last. I don't care how much you get, it'll never last. You can have thousands, millions, billions. It doesn't matter. It will run out. See, when you're young, you do stupid things. Excuse my language. When you're young spiritually, you do stupid things. When you're young, as far as age, you do stupid things. This young man went to his dad and said, "Dad, listen, I'm out." He didn't say, Dad didn't put him out. He said, "I'm out." Why did he say, "I'm out"? He said, "I'm out because guess what? Somebody got in his head." Amen. Somebody got in his head to say, man, listen, go get what you, go get it, man. It's yours. Sure, they got to give it to you. Now, with my study on this passage, he was at the age where he could demand it. 1 year before this, he couldn't ask for it. Come on, somebody. You see, and some of us are like this young man. We're just waiting till we see our inheritance. Come on, somebody. We're just waiting to see the blessing. God just going to peek. You see it. You just, oh, man, it's mine. I know next year it's mine. It's mine. And soon as he gives it to you, woo-wee, you're gone. We don't even see you. All we see is dust. At least he had the sense to pack some stuff, right? Look what he said. He said he went on a journey into a what? See, that's the first thing that happens when you're ungrateful. You leave to a place where nobody knows you. You try to say, you know what? I'm going to get so far away from y'all. Uh-oh, I'm talking to myself now. I'm moving far away from you. I don't want nothing to do with y'all. Now watch this. The very person that just gave you your inheritance, you're talking about you don't want to be around them. Oh, I don't think you've seen it. That's you know what that's called? Ungratefulness. I just gave you. Now, some commentators said he got over $200,000. Maybe $300,000-$400,000. Right? And he went to a distant land. And what did he do? Let's look at what he did. What did he do with it, y'all? Party like it's 1999. He turned up for what? He turned up, didn't he? Look what it says. Bible says, and there he squandered his estate with what kind of living? He had orgies. He had parties. He paid for everything. Listen, I'm serious. This is what the commentators say. I'm quoting the commentators. Amen. He bought everybody drinks. Listen, drinks was on him. He was Las Vegas all day long. He was doing it. He thought that it would last forever. And sometimes we want to leave the safety of the Father's house because we think we got a few dollars in the bank. Seriously? Amen. How many of you found out differently? You found out it wasn't all that after the party, right? After the party was over and you were broke and broken, amen, and messed up. When you look what he said, he squandered it on loose living. Watch what he says. Now, when he had spent everything, how convenient. What happened next? A what? You know what a famine is? Huh? Isn't that convenient that it was after he lost everything? Isn't that how it happens with us? After we lose everything, that's when the famine comes. A famine means that there's no way that you can get anything to eat. It's impossible. Impossible. I'm saying it one more time. It's impossible. The text says, the famine came, and what did he do? He became what? He became impoverished. New American says, a severe famine occurred that in the country, and he became to be in need. So watch this. Let me just show you a picture here. He had everything for a few minutes. See, some of you, this is what we're doing with our lives. See, we we're making this fast break. We think that we can get over. We think that if we get all this money and all this stuff and all this stuff, and listen, we X God out the picture, that we can make it. You can't make it without him. See, gratitude stems from the fact that, first of all, I thank God I had a father that cared about me to put up something for me. How many of you all, your daddy put something up for you? Not a dime. And if they did, amen. One much. Right? Now watch this. He says, a severe famine occurred in the country, and he began to be in need. And watch what he said in verse 15. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now watch this. Here's a man, a young man, where his daddy owned the field. But because of his ingratitude and because of his youthfulness and because he was not grateful for the things he had, he went from having all the money to having nothing to now he got to get a job feeding swines. But it's just so convenient that God, listen, the land where he went to, he could have went to anywhere he wanted to, but he went to the land which he did not know later on would be a famine. See, what we think is security. Let me ask you something. What gives you security? Money? It won't bring you security. But if you have a relationship with God, listen, you can be in the darkest hole of life. He said, I'll go before you and destroy your enemies. That's what we just read. As a matter of fact, what you don't realize, I'm trying to set you up, but you keep stepping back. You keep squandering what I'm trying to give you. You want your inheritance so bad. And here's the one thing I want to say about God. He's not going to argue with you about your inheritance. Hello, somebody. Did the dad argue with him? He didn't argue with him. Son, okay, you want it? There it is. Holler at you. Peace. See you when I see you. But look at the outcome now. Now watch this. Now here's what the other commentator said. This is Derek Hunt commentator. That's him. The people that hired him, the workers that were there, those are the people that he was partying with. Those were the people that he was squandering his life with, loose living with. But now they're going to hire him to feed the swine. Do you know how low a job that is? That's a low job. Amen. Watch this now. Watch this. He was working for less than minimum wage. Watch the text. Verse 16. And he was longing to fill his what? But the pods. Listen. They were feeding the swine better than him. Can I explain this to you? Sometimes we think that when we leave our parents' house or we're grown and we think we can do it without God, or you know what I mean? We think that it's so good out there. But I want to tell you something. It's a shame when the pigs are eating better than you. Have you ever been that low? I've been that low where the pigs were eating better than me. He's feeding the swines with he says, and longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. No one, watch this now. No one was giving what? The same people that he parted with. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me, man. Listen, y'all not hearing, especially young people. Y'all don't want to hear this. Listen, let me share something with you. The same folk that you think they're going to be with you, lose everything you have, get sick, catch something and see what they do to you. And then if you don't have money and it's your body that you're giving away, get sick. Come on, somebody. Let something happen to you. you'll see who's really for you. Nobody will do anything for you. You got to believe that God will do everything for you. Why am I grateful? I'm grateful because I understand that it's nobody but God. He's the only one. He's the only one that will take care of you. He's the only one that will pick you up when life looks dim. He'll be there when nobody else will be there for you. He'll be there for you. The people that love you, and I'm almost done, the people that love you, you got to appreciate those people. Show your gratitude to those people by saying, you know what? Thank you. Watch the text. Watch the text. He says nobody and no one was given anything to him. Verse 17. But watch verse 17. See, there come a point. Ooh, and I hope tonight you do this. Maybe if you need to. All right. Verse 17. But when he came to his what? Some of you have lost your mind. Seriously, you've literally lost it. Amen. You have this picture in your mind of your future. It involves all kinds of things, but there's no God there. And some of you are out there already. Amen. You've drifted a little ways out. You're in the pig pen right now. But my prayer for you is that you come to your senses. And when you come to your senses, you realize that God loves you. You know what thing that God doesn't do? He doesn't hold our past against us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Listen, as bad as you've messed up, how many messed up? Guess what? He doesn't hold it against you. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. Now I'm coming to close. Watch what he says. He says, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread and I'm dying here with hunger? Look at his master plan. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. See, here's the thing. When he came to his senses, he realized, man, I done messed up. You know how this man, you know how this young man got this to this place? How many know how he got here? Ingratitude. He did not appreciate. The only time, watch this, the only time that he could appreciate what his father was doing for him was when he is at the bottom of life. How many times have you done that? How many times have you kept on going back into the pig pen? Listen, you're going to run out of times here. Oh, I'm talking to myself. You like the pig pen that much, do you? Some of us like the scenery. Maybe we like the smell. Or maybe you like the food. Because here's the thing. Why would you keep going back to the pig pen if it's that bad? Why? And all God says, all you got to do is be grateful to me. Love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Take those idols out of your heart and give me your heart and I will show you what I'll do with you. Do for you and with you. Isn't that powerful? Watch what he says as I close. He says, I'll get up. I'll tell him I sinned against you and I sinned against heaven. Verse 19, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and he came to his father. See, that's the problem with some of us. We won't get up. We're too ashamed to go back. Listen, if you've fallen, get up. Do you think staying in the pig pen is the way out? Watch what he says. He says, but while he was, verse 20, he says, and he get up and he came to his father, but while he was what? While he was still a long way off. This is what you don't know. You know, the grammatical structure to this passage, when it says his father saw him, it meant that every day his father would come outside and look for his son. What you don't realize is this: when you leave the father's house because of ingratitude, your father is still at the house waiting for you. Oh. Listen, you can leave church today. You can walk away. You can say, you know, I'm done with all this. I'm tired of coming to church every week. I'm tired of this. I mean, I ain't nothing getting nothing out of it. But the house is still going to be here. And your father is always going to be here with an open arms, waiting for you to come back home. You see, it doesn't matter how far you've drifted from the path. It boils down to you getting to the place in your heart where you can say, Lord, first of all, I'm sorry. And I want to make it right. And not only do I want to make it right, God, but I want to live a life of gratitude. You're going to be a happier person. See, a person that has gratitude, they don't walk around like they don't care about nothing. They care. They love. See, he says he felt was compassion for him. He ran and embraced him and kissed him. And look what he says. And he said, and the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring me the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. See that? See that? See how God treats you after you've messed up? He brings you his best. Why would you not be grateful? If he brings you his best, listen, you're holding yourself back from his best today if you're not grateful. So tonight as I close, I want to tell you, a story goes on to talk about the older brother now. All right, the older brother, listen, when one person get right, the other person get tripped out. Why you got to treat him like that? Can you see this scenario, right? Like, why you got to treat him like that? He the one did bad. You know what I mean? I've been at home. I've been washing dishes and taking care of everything, and now you're going to treat him like this. He told his son, he said, son, what you don't realize, this brother of yours, he was lost. But now he's been found. You see, and tonight I want to tell you something. Maybe you're lost tonight. But the Father is inviting you back home. You see, you got to make a decision. You can't play with it. Got to be about it. And you got to be grateful. Because may I say this to you, as much as God loves you, He doesn't want you to continue. He doesn't want you to continue to live a life where you're wasting your life. And tonight, I just want to say this as we close. I want to pray for anybody here tonight. Maybe you've been lost. Maybe you've squandered your inheritance. Maybe you're ready. Maybe you're ready to embrace your future. Maybe the things that you're facing are difficult. But listen, may I say this to you? God says, I'm going to go before you. I will take care of your enemies. Listen, so tonight what we've learned is this. The difficult things that you're facing right now, keep going forward. Don't stop. Don't pause. Don't quit. Keep going forward. God will open those doors for you. If you need prayer tonight, I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight. Maybe tonight you want to say, Pastor, tonight I need prayer tonight. I've heard the word tonight and I need God to help me to be that person. of gratitude. I want to be a grateful person. I want to be a person that glorifies God with my life. I'm tired of living in the pig pen. Maybe tonight you're in that pig pen and you're ready to come out of that pig pen tonight. And you want to come tonight. I want to pray for you tonight.